Sandava Rama Krishna Yo. Rata from his chariot. Tunam quickly. Avaprutya climbing down. Sa he. Akrura akrura. Sneha by affection. Vivala overcome. Papata fell. Charana upante. Next to the feet. Dandavat flat like a rod. Rama Krishnayo of Balaram and Krishna. Translation. Akrura, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod. Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Prasadane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamitamne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Picharine Nivisesa Sanyavani Pasichade Shatharine. I'll read the translation again. Akrura, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod. So, this is called Dandavat. Falling down like a rod. There are different kind of obeisances. One you offer with one is asanga. This is dandavat is asanga. You offer with obeisances with 4 8 limbs, the two hands, the elbow, the knee, and the leg. And then there's also panchma, 5. Where we, often we bow down with the head, hands, and knee. And usually when we offer obeisances with dandavat, I can't remember, the left hand over the right or the right over the left. Because you're supposed to touch the lotus of Krishna with the right foot with the left hand and the left foot with the right hand, left hand. Like that. So sometimes people or materialists, they do not understand why devotees are bowing down all the time. Especially for Westerners, when they come to the temple, they see this devotee. Now, especially someone really near shop, bam! They take this word literally, fall down like a rod, bam! And they can't really understand what's going on. I remember many years back when we were on traveling Sankirtan, on the weekend, one of the weekend we were staying in one apartment. We had a Sunday feast. And the father of one devotee came, and he saw this his son and other devotees. Every time they entered the room, which is set up as a temple room, it was like a preaching center actually. Every time we go and offer businesses, come out and you know. So in the class, at the end of the class, he was asking why are the devotees bowing down all the time. So the devotee was giving a class. He was a vice president. He said, "This is a sign of humility. A devotee is humility and surrender, or surrender and humility. Because in the material world, we would rather that someone bow down to us." That's why they make this question, why are you bowing down to some idols, they think, or some statue? Why don't you, basically what they're saying, why don't you bow down to me instead? So they do not understand, because material means pride. If you are humble, you are looked down upon. Humility is not look up. Anyone with humility, normally they look down upon. And also, of course, the word humble is often being not used properly. You see, sometimes when we preach, we have to define certain words before you can go on with the philosophical explanation. Because many of the words that people use or throw around does not properly reflect the true meaning of those that word. For example, if you say false ego, this guy has a false ego. Or he says, he has an ego, you should give up your ego. Now how can you give up your ego? Ego means identity. So we talk false ego, false identity. Or humility, even humble. Sometimes they write about someone who has achieved some status in a society, and they write about his background. He come from a humble beginning. He come from a very humble background. Basically it means poor. Poor background. But in the Vaishnava culture, humility is placed very high. Humility. It's also a sign of real advancement in spiritual life when one develops humility. Because, like we were saying the other day, one can be truly humble only when he realizes his position in relationship to Krishna. When he realizes who is Krishna, and how great Krishna is, and how small and infinitesimal we are, then you can really be humble. Until we realize that we walk around with different degree of pride. And humility also reflects knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, when Krishna describes different qualities of knowledge, he placed humility and pridelessness. These are the first two qualities that was mentioned. Humility and pridelessness. So therefore the devotees, they have no hesitation to offer their obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have no hesitation in offering their obeisances to the spiritual master, or even any other devotees. In fact, they will offer obeisances to anything related to Krishna. Now in this month of Kartik, we chant this song, Dhammadasakam. Namaste Sudhamne Spuratiti Dhamne. And what this devotee is saying, I offer my obeisances to the rope that tied Krishna. What is he offering to Krishna? He said, I'm offering my obeisances to the rope that tied Krishna. How fortunate that rope is to be able to circumambulate the abdomen of Krishna, which contains the whole universe. So these devotees are not in illusion like that. And when we go to Vrindavan, you see, actually when we that eagerness that Akura shown when come to the holy dam like Mayapur, Vrindavan, immediately when you get out of our chariot or the taxi that we came in, so just jump out and throw ourselves in the dust of Vrindavan, Chintamani. The dust of Vrindavan is like Chintamani, just throw ourselves in and roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And we do that often sometimes when we go on parikrama. I don't know about Vrindavan and Raj Mandal, because I've never been to Raj Mandal, but now I did Mandal parikrama, I've been to a few times. And sometimes in the playful mood, Japta Maharaj should tell the devotees, yeah, now you should roll. And you just fool Dandabha and roll in the dust of Navadip. And all the devotees are following. You see all so many devotees rolling around in the dust. So you offer food on the bat like that. And when we go to Govardhan, you see the devotees offering obeisances. There's different way of circumambulating Govardhan. You can walk. Some they do by rickshaw. Some do by scooter nowadays. scooter parikrama or rickshaw parikrama. But it, parikrama means actually walking. Krama means feet, walk. The circumambulate by walking. But some devotees, they offer obeisances. They put on the butt and they get up and then continue from the next stop, put a stone there and then they continue. In this way, they circumambulate the whole Govardhan by Dandavat. One time, when I was describing this to someone, he said, "Wouldn't that take a long time?" I said, "So what's the problem? They are not in a hurry to go anyway. It's not like something you just have to finish up doing." That's the beauty of devotional service. The means and the goal are the same. And there are even some devotees who offer 108 dandavat on one spot. They will have carry the stones and they place one, they get up, then and they put one, and they get up and put one. 108 and then they move to the next, and then the dandavat. Now that would take weeks and weeks, a long time. But like I said earlier, they're not in a hurry to go anyway. They're already in the land of Vrindavan, they're in the Govardhan, profession of life. So Akrura, when he came to Vrindavan and he saw Krishna Balaram, he was so overwhelmed with affection, he just quickly jumped out of the chariot immediately, offer food on the butt. Full obeisances. He was not in any illusion who Krishna and Balaram is. And in fact, he was meditating the whole time he was going to Vrindavan. He was so eager to see Krishna and Balaram, so eager to come to Vrindavan to see them. So when he finally see them, he just throw himself at their feet. So he was able to appreciate that because he was constantly meditating on them. But often we find people, they claim, you know, there was some cartoons, some devotees drawn some cartoons in one of magazine in Sweden. There were two friends. One of them was saying, "Oh, just see look at the mountains, the beauty of God's creation, Krishna's creation." And then the friend said, "What is all this?" And they said, "Just see, look at the stars and the sky, the moon. Such beauty is Krishna's creation." Say, "It's all this, you know, why all this false belief? There's no God. Why are you all talking about God? If there's a God, show him to me." And then Krishna appeared before him. And I said, "My dear servant, you call for me. So what can I do for you?" And the man said, "This is just illusion. This is what happened when you associate with all these so-called religionists, these believers in Hare Krishna, and then you start seeing things." So people who don't believe, they may claim, he said, "There's no God. If there's God, show him to me." And even if Krishna were to appear before them, they will not be able to appreciate. That's just that. Or what will you ask for? If God appeared before him, this famous story of this lady carrying this rock, basket of rocks, of our wood, firewood, and she dropped the wood on the floor, and she said, "Oh my God!" And then God appeared before her, said, "Oh my dear son, you call me, so what can I do for you?" "Can you put the wood back on my shoulder?" So basically that's what's happening. People go to the temple, enthusiastic, offer prayers and all this, pranam, and when they pray, what do they ask for? "Please put this bundle of wood back on my shoulder." Now all these material benedictions that people are asking for is basically asking, "Put all this bundle back on my shoulder." So if one is not, do not have the eyes, you will not be able to see or appreciate. Like even Duryodhana, in the last attempt to stop the war, Krishna went to see Duryodhana to try to talk him out of it, but he was a demon. And when Krishna even showed him his universal form, not the form that Krishna showed but Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita, but and Duryodhana said, "Ah, this Krishna is just very tricky, he's just a magician."
I'm not scared of it. I'm not impressed. He was not able to appreciate. So all this, the claims that people make, well, if the God showing to me this and that, so many things, it's useless talk. Because if they do not have the eyes to see, they will not be able to see. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sudaiva Vidayek Yam Shyama Sundaram Achincha Guna Sarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So only when one is eyes is anointed with the self of love, will he be able to see the form of Shyama Sundar. Therefore, Lord Brahma, I say, I offer my obeisances to Govinda. Again and again, we offer so many prayers, the songs of the Acharyas, throughout Bhagavatam, it's just devotees offering obeisances. Offering their obeisances is Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not in any illusion who Krishna is. So one should not hesitate to offer obeisances. Just like we are describing the two kinds of obeisances. But what is very common nowadays, especially among the Hindus, and also the habits that formed by some devotees also, sometimes they just come in and, what is that? What kind of business is that? They just come in the temple. You know, they walk out of the temple in my name. This is what Hindus do. You see that very often. Or we come in, we offer obeisances, just bang the head on the floor and get up. We are supposed to say the pranam. When we offer obeisances, we are supposed to say the pranam, guru pranam. Not just bang our head on the floor and get up. That's not proper obeisances. So this eagerness we have to develop. Eagerness. I remember one time, the first time actually I went to Jaipur. No, maybe it was the second time I went to Jaipur. I can't remember now. First time or second time I went to Jaipur. And I wanted so much to have darshan of Radha Govinda. So I got on this rickshaw, a scooter. He took me everywhere. He took me to this one temple. And I saw so many devotees. And I had to go up the steps. And I don't remember the Radha Govinda temple looks like that. I've seen pictures of it. And it was many steps were going up. And all the devotees were rushing up. And I was also carried by the euphoria of the whole thing. I was also running up with great anticipation. Wow, finally I'm going to be able to have darshan of Radha Govinda. And throw myself on the floor and thunderbolt. And I got up. And visibly you could see the disappointment on my face because it was not Radha Govinda. It was Ganeshji. And maybe because of that, I never get the blessing of Ganeshji. I'm always poverty stricken. And then, wow, you have a darshan and then you're not appreciating it. So I just then offer my obeisances again and walk out. And then he brought me to Lakshmi Narayan Temple, Birla Mandir. Again, I said, this is not where I want to go. And then I said, okay, give up. And the next day I tried another scooter and finally brought me to Radha Govinda Temple. So one time we went there for darshan and we came early. I said, wow, now we're going to get really good darshan. We were standing right in front of the altar. And the altar is very small, smaller than this part, you know. Small opening. We were waiting, and then more devotees are coming in as the time approaches for darshan. And they were pushing. We were gradually moving away from the darshan area. And push. And there's no way, nothing you can do about it because they are so enthusiastic. They just gave them Raja Govinda, and they came and then they push, and you know how it can be like in your son, and push, and we push to the other end there. And we were disappointed. I said, now we're going. And then we started circumambulating. Unfortunately, somehow Krishna was merciful. Some of the pujari, they're actually from the also Rupa, something that's more or less, just, we all came from the Rupa Nugas. So he saw us and he called us over and gave us tulasi and gave us garlands. Very nice. You see this enthusiasm is there when the people come to the temple. Wow, they're so enthusiastic. It was amazing to see this exhibition of devotion. So this offer of obeisances is an essential part to show also our surrender and our humility. In fact, Prabhupada said, every time you see the spiritual master, you should, every time, whatever you're doing, just stop everything, offer obeisances. There was one servant of Prabhupada. He was telling one time, he was taking prasadam. And Prabhupada was walking through that room to go to the bathroom or something. He would just turn around, food on the butt. And then continue taking prasadam. A few moments later, Prabhupada came back again. And then Prabhupada made a comment. He may forget so many things, but he will not forget his dandavat. And he said, yes, if the spiritual master passed by 1,000 times, you offer obeisance 1,000 times. So these are something that we cannot be negligent about. It cannot be negligent. Because it's also reminding us of our position, who we are in relationship to the spiritual master and Krishna. There was a story of how eager Indradumna Maharaj was get darshan. I don't know whether you read it. It was amazing. I mean, I love reading the diary of Indradumna Maharaj. The experiences and the things that he goes through when preaching Krishna consciousness and the reciprocation he gave from Krishna due to his faith in the holy name. It's amazing. So he was invited by Radhanath Swami. He was getting ready for the Poland tour, but Radhanath Swami called him, asked him to come to Jagannath Puri for Ratha Yatra, and there are going to be like 2,000 or 3,000 devotees. I think Devamrita Maharaj was there also, Sachinanda Swami, a few others. And one devotee got some passes for them to be inside the rope area where they take out the deities. So they were there, and somehow there was this one pujari, brahmana, priest, saw this devotee and he wanted to kick them out. He said, "Your westerner cannot be inside here." And this huge, burly policeman came and pushed them out. He said, "We have passed." He said, "Don't care, pass, get out." And it was pushed and pushed and pushed. And Maharaj was trying to get out, but he could not get out because of all people around him. And then this policeman just pushed him against the rope, and he bounced back towards the and he thought this guy is going to hit him with the rope, but he smashed him with a fist, smashed him on the face, and he dropped his glasses. He was finding his glasses, and then he got out. And then when he got out, he saw, so luckily no nose was not broken. So again later he saw this devotee again, "Maharaj, come, I take you in there." He said, "Well, I don't think I want to go through that again." No, don't worry, I'll bring you in. And again this policeman saw him. He was going towards him with his stick. But there was another brahmana saw this and stopped him. He said, "It's okay, he's here." But the police said, "No, but he's not Hindu, not Indian, he's white. He cannot be in here." He said, "Doesn't matter, he's a Vaishnava." And they were arguing back and forth, and the policeman had to give up. He was not happy with that, but he walked away. And it just goes to show in Jagannath Puri, the brahmanas, they still hold quite a lot of power. So anyway, he was able to have darshan when they bring out the deities. And then the kirtan, they were somehow, due to crowd pushing, the Indava in front of the Ratha Yatra car, 3,000 devotees chanting. He practically took over the whole procession. So they were chanting and then along. And then he tried to climb up the rat. He said, "This is my chance, you know. If I don't take this chance now, it may not happen again." He may climb up the, I think the first was Balaram's chariot. He climbed up, and as he got up there, he was going to say, "Darshan," the brahmana saw that, came with a stick, oh, quickly climbed down. Got down, I think it may even have hit him. And then tried to climb up the Subhadra. Subhadra. Someone said, I'm a Brahmana, you give me, I don't know, 100, 150 rupees, I'll bring you out for darshan. No problem. This is okay. Try it out. It's worth it. So help him out. By the time he got up, and again, the priest saw him and came with a stick to hit him. And of course, that Brahmana took the money, was not nowhere in sight. Just took the money and ran off. And he has to quickly climb back. So the next day, the darshan was still there, and he was not going to do it. But then I think one devotee said, Maharaj, I'm not going to have darshan. He said, no, I've read it. Two times I've tried. He was almost get beaten up by the priest. I said, if you don't do it, it's no, not going to get a chance again. And Maharaj is so eager, he wanted so much that darshan, close darshan. He said, okay, anyway, even if I get beaten up, I'll try. And they climb up. But this time he was crawling on 4 feet. Because he was so tall, he crawled, then they might not be able to see him. So he was hiding behind the crowd, crawling and getting closer and closer. And as he got closer, when he was almost in front of him, the priest again saw him and was coming towards him with a stick. He said, oh, you're just like, oh. At least I protect my head. But he noticed that there was another priest. His heart was, you can see his heart was softening. So he stopped that person with the stick and came up. And somehow the crowd was pushing and pushing and grabbed over his head and just pushed him down. He said, get down. And he got down. And his head was just touching the feet of Jagannath. Just pushed him down. And he was pushed down for a long time. And he pushed down and offered his prayers. And then pull him up. He said, okay, at least I got my darshan. And then again he pushed him down. He got down again. And he said, offer another prayer. And he got, he said, okay, enough. Oh. So again, it shows when one really has this intense desire, this strong eagerness. And I was saying the other day, that's a price. There's no other price. You cannot bribe Krishna. You cannot pay to get a darshan. You know? You have to do that intense pride. I want, I really want. How much do you want? Sometimes the materialists, they try to get you into that. Sometimes you go for this training, motivation training or whatever. They make you repeat it again and again. How much do you want? Yeah, I want. How much? How much do you really want? They get you into that kind of frenzy. Yeah, I want. And then they call this like focusing what your goal is. So we have to focus our goal. What do we really want? Do you want Krishna? And so many other things. And so many other things, then we may not get Krishna. So, but when we really, really want, then Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna is always reciprocating. He reciprocates with everyone. He's the perfect reciprocator. The demons, they want to fight with him, they want to kill him, they want to be his enemy, and Krishna will be a perfect enemy. He'll fight them and kill them. Like when Krishna was walking into the arena of Kamsa, later on we'll read about that. Understand, all the different devotees were seeing him, different personalities were seeing him differently. Kamsa saw him as death personified. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda saw him, this is our beloved son. And all the young ladies, they were seeing that he's like the most beautiful lover. And the cowboys, of course, they see him as a friend. So they all see him differently, and Krishna reciprocate with everyone differently. If someone comes to the temple and look at the deity, look at Radha Vallabha, so what? This is just stone or marble statue, and Krishna will stand there very still, like a marble and stone. He can stand very, very still for a long, 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 long time. But when the devotee, pure devotee, come and see Krishna with love, and see Krishna playing on his flute, and they see Krishna dancing, isn't he? Gonitai dancing on the altar. It's dancing. Sometimes you look at Krishna with so much devotion. Krishna, when you go, Krishna, you are so captured by that devotion, you just walk off the altar. That's the famous story behind Panka Bihari temple in Vrindavan. When this devotee came, he was having darshan of Krishna, was looking at him with so much devotion. When he left, Krishna got off the altar and also started walking away. And in heaven they said, no, you cannot go. Where are you going? You cannot go anywhere. He said, this devotee has captured me. I'm following him. So they told him, you have to stay too. Otherwise Krishna will go. You stay, and the deity stay. Of course, recently that temple became famous for something else. It became controversial when they started dressing him in jeans and a mobile phone and all this. So it's like that. And also there was another devotee with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's the name of that devotee? When he walked, he's also jumping off the altar. The deity jumped off the altar and took part in the kirtan. Huh? Yeah, Gonitai.
Goridas.
Goridas. He said, no. You get back on the altar, and then deity become author, and they were sort of kind of dating who is the deity and who is the Lord Chaitanya. You can't see any difference anymore. Because actually deities are not different. They are Krishna. So like that. So it's a matter of reciprocation. What is our heart desire? When we say, oh, I want to become Krishna conscious. I want to surrender Krishna. But actually it's how strong is that desire? How deep is that desire? Or is that desire overwhelmed by so many other things? So these are things we have to look at. These are things that we have to work on. To weed out. As we progress in devotional service, also the weeds will also come. It is sometimes devotees, they become bewildered and confused. Say, I've been performing devotional service for so many years, and why is it that I still have so many desire? I have never been so disturbed before. It seems like now I'm even more disturbed and more agitated. Why is that? It's not that those desires are not there. Maybe it's just not manifested yet. So by the process of devotional service, it's so powerful, you know, these weeds will come up. And when it comes up, it's easier for us to weed them out. Because it's when we are not aware of the problem, we will not be able to deal with it. But when it comes up, we know, oh, here's a problem, get rid of it. Let's deal with it. So we should see in a positive way, and the problem is there. Devotees, they do not necessarily shy away from problems. If you are Queen Kunti, he welcomes those problems. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was leaving, and Queen Kunti came. He offered her prayer. He said, before, when we will have so much problems, so much difficulties, you were always there with us. But now it seems that the problem is there, it's gone, and you're leaving us. So I would rather have all this problem. He said, let all these calamities happen to me again and again, because then we'll always be with you. Sometimes it's easier to remember Krishna when we are in trouble. Just like when you're preaching on Sankirtan, on book distribution, when it goes very well, how often we forget Krishna? Then we start thinking, wow, I'm doing so good. Just see the book just flying out of my hands. And then we start getting puffed up. And start thinking, I'm the doer. And then Krishna has to be merciful and BAM! Bring us down back to size. So isn't it sometimes when we're struggling a bit, our prayer and the intensity of our prayer become stronger? We are able to cry. When we are doing very well, very often we are not able to cry for Krishna. We become disillusioned by the external circumstances. But when we have difficulty, when we have problem, and when we try everything we try and it doesn't work, and the only resource is Krishna, then we cry. And that's the whole point of our devotional service, is to come come to that platform, come to a point where we realize actually there's no other shelter than Krishna. Krishna is the only shelter. And that's one of the symptoms of surrender. Surrender means to have no other shelter than the shelter of Krishna. To always feel the protection of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example of the Chataka bird. Now it's a very special, unique bird. It flies. And it will, even when it's thirsty, it will not come down to the ground to take water. It will just take water from the clouds. And sometimes the clouds may be giving thunder, and still the bird will be there. So that's a devotee. Sometimes you may be experiencing thunder, but still we will not take shelter of the material world. We still take shelter there. We only accept the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, Nishishastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, say, you are my most worshipful Lord. Doesn't matter what happened. You can deal with me roughly, you can embrace me roughly, you can neglect me, whatever. You're still my most worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's called unconditional surrender. So have no other shelter than the shelter of Krishna. That's called surrender. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. Well, maybe they have to adjust it. When one gets real knowledge. Because, as I was saying, maybe before you came in, that Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, like, humility, pridelessness, all these different qualities, these are symptoms of knowledge. So when someone has real knowledge, he's humble.
So then if one is acquiring real knowledge, then there'll be a transformation within one's
character. Yeah. Sure. Because what is real knowledge? In one purport in the second chapter, Prabhupada is saying that real knowledge means to know the difference between matter and spirit. And who is the controller of both? That's knowledge. So when we have this knowledge, the difference between matter and spirit, that I'm spirit soul, an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, how can we be proud if we really have that knowledge? And when we use the word knowledge, very often we're not talking about just theoretical knowledge. Knowledge means to know. Dharam Rita Maharaj used to give this example. He said, knowledge, to know means, or to hear. He said, open the door. And not, sometimes people say, I hear, but are we really hearing? Hearing also to act, right? To hear means to act. He said, open the door. Open the door! I hear you. I heard you. Don't shout. No, you have not heard. Because if you have heard, open the door, you have gone and opened the door. But the fact that you didn't open the door is because you haven't heard. You think you heard, but you have not heard. That's why you have to keep hearing. How often you go to class and say, oh no, he's talking about I'm not this body again. I've heard it so many times. But as soon as the class is over, you walk out the door, I am this body, where's Prashanam? Why is Prashanam late? I didn't get my favorite prasadam today. What's wrong with the cook? We are all this body. We may hear whatever in the class. So what is really hearing? Means to act according to what we heard. And that's why it's important to come to class regularly here, and then throughout the day we try to meditate on what we heard and try to act according to what we heard. In this way it becomes internalized. The more we hear and act, become internalized. Is there what?
Was he intending to actually surrender to Krishna? Bringing a message?
He was, yeah, he was. The whole way he was just meditating on Krishna.
What was his purpose to go there and sing?
His purpose was, he was sent by Kamsa. Yeah. That was someone explained that the other day. It was sent by Kamsa with the intention to bring them to Mathura with the intention of killing them. But because he was in the employ of Kamsa, has to do what he has to do. But he was just eager to get the opportunity to go to Vrindavan to see Krishna. And he, in his thoughts, he was saying also, he was thinking that even though I have coming with this intention, but I hope that Krishna will know that, you know, what my real intention is. That was explained. That was explained in earlier verses. Yeah, I think it's in the. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.